The 1% Treaty is a piece of paper that says stop spending so much on killing and spend a tiny bit on not dying. More formally, every signatory nation redirects 1% of its annual military budget to the 1% Treaty Fund, which finances global health initiatives like your Decentralized Institutes of Health, or DIH. It's legally binding, which means countries have to do it or feel mildly embarrassed at international conferences. The math. The problem. The world spends $2.72 trillion a year on military forces to maintain a delicate balance of power. The hack? If every nation reduces military spending by 1% at the same time, the balance of power remains identical. No country becomes more vulnerable. The prize? That 1%, a $27.2 billion a year river of cash, is redirected to cure all human diseases. For comparison, $27.2 billion is about what Americans spend on Valentine's Day. Flowers and chocolate is more than curing cancer, apparently, and roughly what humans spend on pet food every 3 months. Apparently too much to ask for curing diseases. How it works. Funding creates a $27.2 billion per year revenue stream for the 1% Treaty Fund. Execution? A network of Decentralized Institutes of Health, or DIH, subsidizes patient participation in a decentralized framework for drug assessment, or DFDA, a decentralized FDA. Clinical trials that are 44.1 times cheaper than the current model. Governance, Decentralized Autonomous Organization, or DAO, governed by smart contracts and global population via wishocracy. Transparency, all research, data, and spending published on public ledger. This isn't a trade-off. It's like if everyone in your neighborhood spent their life savings on attack dogs and then called it a safe community because all the dogs are equally vicious. When every nation builds 1% fewer explosion devices at the same time, you get two good things. You become safer. The global "you might all die by accident" temperature drops 1%. Fewer chances of someone pressing the wrong button. Which happens more than you'd think. You stop dying from stupid things. That $27.2 billion pays people to try treatments instead of waiting for death. This is called a Pareto improvement, which is economists speak for everybody wins and nobody loses. It's like finding out that eating less poison makes you both less poisoned and wealthier because poison is expensive. The dead capital problem, or why bombs are the worst investment since tulips. Here's something nobody tells you. When countries invest in military hardware, they're not buying assets, they're buying very expensive paperweights that occasionally explode. A bridge generates economic activity daily. Trucks move, people commute, value flows, lasts 50 to 100 years, makes everyone richer. Pretty to look at. A missile sits in a hole doing nothing, costs $1.5 million a year just to keep it from rotting, can only destroy things, including itself, makes everyone nervous. This is what economists call dead capital, resources trapped in a form that can't generate returns. It's like if you converted your house into a pile of TNT. Sure, it's impressive, but you can't live in it, rent it out, or do anything except eventually blow up, at which point you have neither a house nor TNT. As President Eisenhower, a five-star general who knew about killing professionally, put it, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired, signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed." He literally ran the biggest military in history, and even he thought you were being ridiculous about this. A 1% treaty doesn't ask you to spend $27.2 billion curing diseases. It asks you to stop wasting $27.2 billion on things that sit in holes, making you poorer and less safe, and redirect those same papers to things that make you richer and less dead. It's not spending, it's stopping wasting. The reallocation. How to redirect $27.2 billion a year legally. This is how you redirect $27.2 billion a year from the military budget to medicine. The process is so simple, it's almost insulting that nobody did it earlier. Nobody will even notice. The beautiful mathematics of mutual stupidity reduction. If everyone reduces their military budget by exactly 1% at exactly the same time, everyone maintains exactly the same strategic position. America still has 6,500 nukes instead of 6,565. Russia still has 6,000 instead of 6,060. China still has enough weapons to kill everyone twice instead of 2.02 times. North Korea, still terrifying, but now 1% less so. Nobody loses relative scariness. The interesting thing about having 13,000 nuclear warheads is that after the first few hundred, you're just showing off. I asked a general if losing 1% of weapons would weaken national security. He said yes. I asked if having 1% fewer weapons pointed at you by every enemy would make you safer. He stopped talking to me. That 1%, $27.2 billion a year, cures the diseases that are actually killing people, unlike bombs, which are mostly sitting around getting dusty, and occasionally almost ending the world because a computer thought a flock of geese was a missile. This actually almost happened. The blueprint for a saner world. Treaties are magic pieces of paper that countries sign when they want to pretend they'll behave. Sometimes they work. You haven't had World War III yet. Sometimes they don't. You've had about 200 other wars. But they're the only tool you have for getting countries to do anything together besides kill each other. A 1% treaty. Technical specifications for global survival. Article 1. The promise. We, the undersigned nations, being of sound mind and tired of dying, hereby agree to redirect 1% of our annual military expenditure to not dying instead. Article 2. The money part. Every signatory nation contributes exactly 1% of their military budget to the 1% treaty fund. The USA contributes $8.86 billion. Won't even notice. They failed to account for over $2.46 trillion. China contributes $2.96 billion, what they spend on military parades. India contributes $835 million, one aircraft carrier's wine budget. Russia contributes $1.09 billion, Putin's shirt budget. Saudi Arabia contributes $754 million, one prince's yacht. The UK contributes $686 million. France contributes $563 million, military cheese allocation, and so on. Article 3, the incentive mechanism. Politicians who support the treaty receive incentive alignment bonds. Benefits? Campaign funding from the political incentive pool, $2.72 billion per year, and lucrative post office career opportunities. Supporting the treaty becomes the career maximizing choice. Why this is actually about national security? No, really. Here's what actually threatens nations today. Real threats that actually kill people. Pandemics. COVID killed more Americans than World War II, Korea, and Vietnam combined. Cancer kills 10 million people globally per year. Heart disease, 18 million annual deaths. Dementia, destroying the minds of every nation's elderly, and sometimes their leaders. Climate disasters, making entire regions uninhabitable. Mental health crisis, more people kill themselves than die in wars. Fake threats that countries spend trillions on. Other countries may be attacking. Happens occasionally, usually over stupid stuff. Terrorists kill fewer people than furniture accidents. Space aliens, still zero confirmed kills. The communists and capitalists mostly just sell each other stuff now. Immigration, people moving around, terrifying. Critical race theory, a graduate seminar that somehow threatens nations. A 1% treaty addresses the real threats. It doesn't weaken your ability to handle the imaginary ones. You'll still have plenty of weapons for the communists, the furniture, and the space aliens. The rebranding campaign, from weakness to strategic genius. Politicians hate looking weak. It's their biggest fear, right after being caught with their mistress or having to use their own healthcare system. So you don't frame it as reducing military spending. You frame it as the Strategic Health Defense Initiative. The old frame, we're cutting defense by 1%, political suicide. The new frame, we're building a biodefense shield against the real threats, political genius. The talking points that make hawks sound like doves.
This is the ultimate America First policy. We're protecting American lives from the Chinese virus and any future biological threats. It's the Strategic Defense Initiative for the 21st century. We're redirecting the tools of war to the cause of healing. This is how we build a more just and equitable world. Our nation grows stronger when our people stop dying of diseases we can prevent. A healthy population is a powerful population. The ROI is 84.8 million to one. That beats every public health intervention on record. Big Pharma hates this one weird trick that makes medicine basically free. Your mom has cancer. This might cure it. Sign here. Implementation. For the detailed execution timeline, see the roadmap. The money flow, where $27.2 billion actually goes. Once nations sign the treaty and money starts flowing, here's what happens. The 1% treaty fund. Input: $27.2 billion annually from military budgets worldwide. Distribution: the $27.2 billion flows into the 1% treaty fund, an 80-10-10 automatic split before any funds reach discretionary spending. 80% of the fund, $21.8 billion, is allocated to pragmatic clinical trials for patient subsidies, R&D, and pandemic prep. 10%, or $2.72 billion, goes to victory incentive alignment bonds for perpetual investor payments. 10%, or $2.72 billion, is for IAB political incentives as rewards for supporting legislators. The 80% allocated to pragmatic clinical trials is then distributed by the actual people of Earth via the Wishocracy platform, not by a committee of 12 people in a conference room who haven't had a new idea since 1987. While allocations are dynamic, initial priorities determined by the crowd are projected to focus on patient subsidies, the largest portion, creating a market for clinical trials, research and development, funding for breakthrough platform technologies, pandemic preparedness, a global insurance against the next COVID. The exact percentages will shift in real time based on humanity's collective will. Governance. Governance is handled by Wishocracy, a system of direct digital democracy detailed in the How to Replace Congress with an App chapter. In short, every human gets direct say on funding priorities. Yes, even Florida man. We'll risk it. Year 1 projected outcomes. Right now, only 1.9 million patients per year participate in drug trials annually out of 2.4 billion people with chronic disease. A 1% treaty changes this. Current system. Pivotal trials, $41,000. Only 1.9 million patients per year participants per year globally. 1.08 billion people willing to participate but turned away. 14 years from discovery to patient.
With a 1% treaty plus a decentralized framework for drug assessment, $60 billion existing plus $27.2 billion from the treaty, pragmatic trials cost $929, which is 44.1 times cheaper. 23.4 million participants per year, a 12.3 times capacity increase. For detailed impact projections, see the full economic analysis. The incentive structure. The military-industrial complex will love this. Why? Because they get to, one, keep 99% of their budget, still plenty for bombs, two, pivot 1% to biotech, higher profit margins, 3. Look like heroes, rare for arms dealers. 4. Invest in the fund, 272%, remember. 5. Not die of cancer. Even arms dealers get cancer. Lockheed Martin presents the F-35 Cancer Killer. Boeing, proud sponsor of Not Dying of Alzheimer's. Raytheon Technologies, now with 1% less death. They keep their contracts, they keep their profits, they just point 1% of their death machines at actual death. This isn't just about saving lives, it's about creating a substantial growth industry, the business of not dying, and letting everyone get rich in the process. What happens if this actually works? The end game. Reorienting global priorities. A 1% treaty isn't the goal, it's the gateway drug. Once your species gets a taste of spending money on things that help instead of things that explode, you'll want more. Your multi-generational strategy is to make organized violence less economically necessary. You're not appealing to better angels, you're making peace more profitable than war. Turns out, humans will do anything if you pay them enough, including surviving. The ratchet effect. How to boil a frog. The frog is the war machine. Once a 1% treaty is signed and the first cures for untreatable diseases start rolling out, the system becomes more valuable. This is how you sustain it. Every 5 to 10 years, you hold another global vote. The question is simple. Hey, that worked out great. Grandma's dementia is manageable now. You stopped that pandemic before it started. Want to try another 0.5%? It's a politically tiny ask with an enormous payoff. This creates a feedback loop from hell for the "war is good actually" crowd. More cures lead to more popular support, which leads to more votes for more funding, which leads to more cures. It's a self-reinforcing flywheel for peace. The military budget gets put on a diet, one delicious, life-saving, politically unassailable bite at a time. The economic gold rush. Eventually, the economic gravity of the planet will shift. The most talented scientists and engineers will be drawn to the massive opportunities in health and longevity, not designing better ways to blow people up. The world's biggest investors will realize the greatest returns are found in curing Parkinson's, not in building another aircraft carrier. Nations will discover that true power comes not from their capacity for destruction, but from their capacity for keeping people alive. The new geopolitical competition won't be about who has the most weapons, it'll be about who cured the most diseases. Imagine a world where countries brag about their cancer survival rates instead of their missile counts. Weird, right? That's because you've been doing it wrong. Objections. For detailed responses to common objections, this makes us weak, this is socialism, what if there's a war, etc., see the frequently objected. Avoiding treaty pitfalls. Treaties fail in predictable ways. Here's how this one avoids the common killers. Reservation games. Countries love to sign treaties, then add exceptions that gut them. It's like joining a gym but reserving the right to never go. Solution? No reservations permitted. All or nothing. Take it or leave it. Ratification delays. Sign with fanfare, take a photo, then let it die in committee forever. Your species calls this diplomacy. Solution. Provisional application. Takes effect on signature. Ratification just formalizes what already started. Creative accounting. reclassifying military spending as peacekeeping or homeland security to dodge obligations. Solution? Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, make creative accounting self-defeating. Politicians who benefit from treaty compliance have personal financial incentive to ensure their nation's full 1% contribution flows through. Reclassifying military spending to dodge obligations reduces IAB returns for that nation's own legislators, the same people who control budget classifications. Parliamentary obstacles. Executive signs, legislature refuses to implement. Solution: self-executing treaty. No implementing legislation needed. Direct effect in domestic law, per the Supremacy Clause in the U.S., similar provisions elsewhere. Summary: a 1% treaty is a piece of paper that says, let's spend 1% less on killing and 1% more on not dying. That's it. That's the whole thing. It doesn't end war. It doesn't destroy the military. It doesn't create world peace. It just moves the first 1% of your murder budget to your survival budget. If you can't agree on that, if you can't agree that spending one penny less on death and one penny more on life is a good idea, then you deserve whatever's coming. Addendum: the actual treaty text, first draft. The treaty for the 1% reallocation of military expenditures towards biomedical research and development for the prevention of human suffering and death, or the Let's Not Die Treaty for short. Whereas humanity spends $2.72 trillion annually on methods of killing itself, whereas this seems somewhat counterproductive.
Whereas diseases kill more people than all wars combined and don't even have the decency to be quick about it. Whereas we have nuclear weapons sufficient to end civilization 20 times but can't cure male pattern baldness once. Whereas this is embarrassing. Now, therefore, the undersigned nations agree to stop being complete idiots about this as follows. Article 1. Each signatory shall redirect exactly 1% of its annual military budget to the 1% treaty fund for allocation to pragmatic clinical trials. Article 2. Transfers shall be automatic, immediate, and irrevocable. No, we'll get to it later. Article 3. Percentages may increase but never decrease. This is a ratchet, not a yo-yo. Article 4. Compliance shall be verified by blockchain and AI. No creative accounting. Article 5. Non-compliant parties lose access to incentive alignment bond, or IAB, benefits and treaty fund advantages. Your opponents get what you forfeit. Article 6. Success metrics trigger mandatory percentage reviews. When it works, we do more. Article 7. Citizens have standing to enforce via domestic courts. You can sue your own government for noncompliance. Article 8. Withdrawal requires unanimous consent of all parties, plus 10-year notice. Good luck with that. Article 9. This treaty supersedes all conflicting domestic law. Yes, even that law. Article 10. Entry into force upon signature of two states. You only need two countries brave enough to go first. In witness whereof, the undersigned, being of sound mind and tired of watching their loved ones die of preventable diseases, have executed this treaty. Signed this day, blank, in the year of our ongoing confusion. Nation name. We choose life, I guess. P.S. Yes, this includes space weapons. Nice try.